Hello and good evening. This is Florence in Atlanta with the Thinkers Challenge Show. If you're new listening to our show, it's simply sharing insights that we have gained in all the aspects of life as we have read our Bible or as we read our Bible with the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Keeps the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. We hope that something you hear today will either lead you to do your own study or at least explore further by asking questions. And you can send your questions to florence@thinkerschallenge.com. Today, I thought we would look at this common thing called fear. It's a common evil, actually, because I have no kind words for fear because it tormented me so in so many areas of my life, and it's a joy to be able to overcome the senseless evil called fear. All over the world, I know that I haven't been everywhere, but I'm sure that this common evil is felt everywhere, and the effects of it is not good for anyone. So I thought today we would talk a bit about it. I looked up the meaning of fear in my favorite dictionary, the 1828 by Webster's. And let me share what I found. Let me put this on me first. And then it says that a painful, this is part of the definition, of course, Webster always has so many, but this I thought spoke to what I wanted to talk about today. Fear, a painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. And then he also says, fear is accompanied with a desire to avoid or ward off the expected evil. Fear is an uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil likely to befall us. It is very nicely. But I've also come to find out that fear, the acronym for fear, is false evidence appearing real. Let's think about that for a minute, because most of the time, what we appear or what we seem to be afraid of, it's just thoughts, mainly. It's our thinking, as it says, it's an apprehension of something going to happen. Of course, you know, some people are afraid of heights, say, and then if you're upstairs on a, you know, fifth floor of a hotel, yes, you have fear. But even that, isn't it the thought? Isn't it all thought? If you're afraid of a dog, okay, the dog is here, but if you don't have a certain thought about the dog, you're not afraid. There is uncertainty involved with fear. There's also a feeling, a wanting to be secure when we fear. I'll go ahead and list some of the things that people have talked about as being they're feeling fearful about. I lost my page here. One second. Okay. It goes on from fear of, you know, the feeling vulnerable is fearful. Fear of the future. Somebody said fear of being ordinary. I don't know exactly what they mean, being ordinary, but that's one of the things. Fear of cats and dogs, of course, we know that. Somebody said fear of negativity. Now, that's interesting. I think he was expressing fear of having, you know, misery around wherever he is. He didn't like people to be negative, and it just makes him uneasy. Or fear of limited spaces or fear of sad environments. I think that sounds more like that one, fear of negativity. Of course, fear of failure. Mm-hmm. But we can't deny that worry, anxiety of any kind, even sickness, illness, disease, has fear involved here. There's always fear underneath any sense of uneasiness. How about people who, you know, go along neglecting little things that come around, maybe the way they eat, until they're afraid to eat certain things? I mean, we can have fear all over. It's almost like the ruler. I wrote something. One second here again. Let's see. That fear seems like the ruler of the world. Instead of us, the whole humankind, being bonded by the love of God, it seems like what is common amongst us all, or what you can find everywhere, is fear. And look at all the things that happen when we are afraid. I got a great article that I will read a little later on, but I'd like to hear from one of our guests, you know, what are some of the things you've been fearful of? Or you've had anxiety about? I mean, it's the same thing as far as I can see, worry, fear, you know, anxiety, uncertainty, all of that is fear. I just would like to have, you know, you share a few, and let's see. I'm sure we do this so that people who come on can identify with it, because whatever we've been anxious about, believe me, somebody else has been too. And that this is why it makes what we say here practical, because if people don't identify with, you know, some of the things we've been through, then what is the purpose? They can't find any common thing to relate to. So let's go to Georgia for a second. 404-951-1096. If you would just share some of the things that you've been anxious about, you know, it will be helpful right now. And then I'll read that article that I talked about. Okay. The line is open.
Yes, one of the things is fear of making incorrect decision or incorrect choices. Just you're bothered, you know, you want to do the best, but there's that element of fear in the back of your mind. What if I choose X, A, and it's not exactly the best, but with the information that I'm presented with, sometimes you make an incorrect decision. But there, what I'm finding out now, there's no need to make an incorrect decision, because God says he has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a strong mind. I think being quiet in prayer and not trying to make a rash or quick decision if there's no reason for it, usually if you're quiet and in prayer, the decision that you make will be the correct one. That's what I'm learning.
Yeah, I think I agree that fear of making a mistake is a big one. It's a big one for everyone, because maybe, you know, you have to make a choice, and you don't want to make the wrong choice. And again, what I think I've mentioned this on another show that we had about fear before, that the fear of making the wrong decision was what used to torment me more than anything. The fear of making the wrong decision. And then one day I was reading. I kept reading, studying, praying, Father, show me. And I came across a very short article. One day I'll read it. I don't have it here, but it said, in essence, that you don't have to make a decision. And I said, what do you mean? I don't have to make a decision. Of course I have to make a decision. that further study revealed clearly that if I want God's will, His decision is always already made. God's decision for us, His plan for us is already made. He's not making it as we go along. It doesn't work that way. But because it's already made, all we need to do is to make sure that our thinking is in line so we can hear what He's saying. It's already there. I mean, if we really put this in practice, I've seen it where, I'm like, okay, and it's sometimes the last minute, I'm like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to, it's back and forth, back and forth. Now, that back and forth is what does not need to happen, because without the back and forth, we can hear better. We can hear better. We can discern what the Christ thought is, the messages that is coming to us all the time. We can hear that and go forward with it. I also learned that it is not necessary to feel afraid that you may make a wrong decision. Reason being, if I am relying on God completely, all the time, to do His will, if I'm desiring in my heart always to have nothing but what He gives me, because I'm sure that that's what is good, it's only what God gives brings the best satisfaction, the lasting satisfaction. If I'm sure of that, and I'm making that my life in every area of my life, then of course, even if I make a mistake, I mean, the fear of making a mistake shouldn't be there, because I know that He directs my path. If I should make a mistake, it will be redirected, it will be amended, it will not have any bad effect. And you can, you know, practice this and, you know, prove it for yourself. Because I have seen that when I've taken away the fear, when I've said, Father, whatever your decision with is what I would like to go with, and I've left it all in His hands, then the fear of making a mistake even doesn't come in. Furthermore, I've learned that fear is really senseless, because it has... Think about it. What is it? It's something, it's a thought. It's something out there trying to be real, trying to say, oh, such and such is going to happen. It is not so. When I know that God is all, God is all, meaning He's omnipotent, all power, omnipresent, the only presence, omniscient, the only source of wisdom, even omni-action, every action, every right action stems directly from its source, God. If this is my thought, then where is the fear? It covers present, past, future. And right now, okay, what do I need to be afraid of? It's just a myth, really. It just comes, well, what if? It's always what if. What if I don't get that job? What if I don't have enough money to do this? What if? Why not focus on what is? God is. God is now. Wherever I go, He's there. I know that whatever I do, He is guiding me. I feel His presence. This is the thing. We work to feel God's presence wherever we are, no matter what. And this requires constant desiring to know, to understand God more, to reflect what He is. Because if we really feel that we are the children of God, like He has said we are, and we are not thinking we are something else, what is the best thing to do? To really be so close that we feel our hand in His hand wherever we go. When I was dealing with some of the frightening moments of my life, and again, I've said this before, but I say it over and over, because I know in the four years almost now, 3 years, We've had like 8,000 people come and listen. You don't know what your example might mean to that one person who tunes in a particular day. Okay, so when I was going through my Franklin moment, I had to really get to the point where I could feel my hand is in your hand. Wherever I go, whatever I'm doing, it doesn't matter how, you know, insignificant it is. I want to feel God with me. I want to feel him in my work. I used to take care, I was a nurse, medical nurse, and then became a Christian Science nurse. And in that, some of the things we were taught was to do everything with God in thought. Like if I'm making a bed, I'm taking the sheets and knowing that this is really not just putting sheets on a bed, but I'm providing comfort for someone. If it's food, I'm going with a sense of beauty, a sense of nourishing someone. Always the thought behind everything we do needs to be so pure that it conveys the love of God in it. When we do work that way, when we do anything that way, the fear, there is no fear when you're working like this. And I really love 1 John 4, where it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I just love that. Let's think about it. I'll read it again. He says, there is no fear in love. Now, this is so important because, let's face it, cannot feel love, especially the love of God, and feel fearful at the same time. Absolutely impossible. And again, let me see what, if anybody has any comments. Georgia, again, do you have any comments about that? And I'll go forward and read the article.
I agree. So far, I agree.
Okay. All right. Okay. I mean, it's like if you're really feeling the love of God, well, there's no anxiety, because it does. It does cast out fear. I love the word cast out because it's strong. And I love it because fear is not to be tolerated. Anytime we're feeling any sense of fear, worry, anxiety, we need to ask why and immediately put our armor on. And if it's a psalm, you have to say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, that's one of my favorite ones, or the Lord is my shepherd, our Father, anything. We've got to use whatever it is to cast out the fear. Because if it keeps on, then it brings another thought, another fearful thought, and another fearful thought. And all that is absolutely unnecessary. It is not real. If it's not from God, it is not real. And fear, God never gave any fear to anyone. Therefore, we do not have to tolerate it. I was so happy to find that out. That really, we can know that fear has no power unless we give it power. Unless we're thinking, oh, something's going to happen. And we're so afraid that, yes, it does happen. Like this article says. But there is really no need to fear. I mean, if it's a person, why fear someone? Are they bigger than God? No. God rules my life. God governs my life. Whatever it is, you must ask yourself, why fear? When God, love, God, is the only ruling power, controlling power, governing power of everything, of who I am and whatever I do, whatever decisions I have to make, wherever I have to go, he's already there to know this. And I have to know this, practice it enough that I feel it. Wherever I'm going, I know that he has already gone before me, that Christ's spirit is everywhere. And in loving this fact, loving these spiritual facts, does cast out fear. It really do. You can put them in practice and prove them each by yourself. Because fear is nothing but a senseless nothingness trying to be something. That's all it is. Now, this gentleman, Willis, did you have anything to say? Go forward. The cure for fear. The great evil which plagues human existence is fear. As Job said, the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. Mankind appears to be bound by fear, seemingly with no way of escape. Oh, we didn't mention this one, but the article does. Fear of sickness and suffering. That's a big, big one. Fear of failure and disaster, fear of poverty, fear of the loss of social standing. In a word, we fear fear. And then she goes on to say that we learn that fear is a mere mental condition, a negative state of thought, not a material thing. It does not originate in matter. It's not supported by it, and it cannot be removed by anything material. Its immediate cause is a mistaken belief in the reality of the thing that is feared. So she goes on, in Genesis we read, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the host of them. John said, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All that God creates is to be feared. That's good. If we find ourselves beset by fear, stop and remember that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. That from him comes every good and perfect gift. That he is no respecter of persons. And that what he is to one, he is to all. It is his good pleasure to bestow the kingdom of universal and eternal harmony upon all his children. As we hold these truths, and turn a deaf ear to all the arguments of error, our fear will decrease. And one fear overcome makes possible the overcoming of others. The axe has been laid at the root of the tree, and we have begun to work out our salvation in the way taught and demonstrated by the Master. That's Christ Jesus. The Bible talks about fear not, so many times. Why? Because it's telling us there is nothing to fear. This article just said, if God has created all good, it's only false education why we believe that, oh, there's this and there's that, and then the thoughts that come, the wrong thoughts, the negative thoughts that come only for us to believe in, we can dismiss them, each one of them, with confidence that they are not of God. And this brings us to why the beatitude that thought the pure in heart, talking about purity in thought, in consciousness, purity of our hearts, not entertaining any wrong thoughts about anyone and about ourselves. If we are children of God, then we have to stay with the good that God has created. And the purer our thinking, the more we feel the love of God and the less fearful we are, until we continue going higher and higher till nothing phases it anymore. He says, when there's a Bible verse, I can't remember exactly what it is, it's talking about what is within us is greater than what is out there. That is the love of God, as I read before, it casts out fear. And feel the love of God at all times, in everything we do, wherever we are, shutting off the negative thoughts that come. As soon as it comes, no, we do not have to take it in. We know now that if we don't believe in it, if we don't give it any reality, it doesn't have any. It doesn't have any. There's no future foreboding awaiting us. There's good awaiting each and every one. And I love the fact that it did mention he is no respecter of persons. I love it too much, because it might seem as, oh, some people are better than us, some people deserve. No, 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 no. It's for everyone. Well, if we admit what I just said, well, did he just make some people better than others? Some environments better than others? Will he give to some people and not to others? Again, like my favorite analogy, the sun is shining. Those who go in it will feel the warmth of it. So let's all really cast out this unreality, the senseless unreality of fear, and fill our hearts with the love of God, and see if we will not overcome it. I mean, when I say overcome it, I mean overcome it forevermore. God loves each one too much, and this love is what should be the common bond among all mankind, and not the senseless so-called fear. It has no place, and it cannot usurp the place of God in our hearts. I hope you've gained something out of this. I hope you put it in practice and prove them for yourself. If you have any questions at all, write to Florence@thinkerschallenge.com. Thank you for your participation, and thank you to those who listen. And tell other people who may need to hear these insights to bless all of us. Have a good evening and have a great week. See you next week. And bye for now.